Item 8.3, consideration of action and action to adopt resolution number 2014-124, selecting an engineering firm to perform engineering and environmental services for the Coastal Impact Assistance Program erosion control project along Miramar, part of Galveston Bay waterfront. Authorizing the city administrator to negotiate compensation terms with a preferred engineering firm to ensure services performed will be accomplished within the limits of available grant funding, and authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with the selected firm to perform the required services. David?
Good evening. This has been a very long time coming, and we're still in the process. We first applied for this Coastal Impact Assistance Grant about 10 years ago. We got turned down a number of times, and we finally prevailed. We were awarded the grant, and we have moved through the process of designating a grant administrator. We're done. The next step here is to select a project engineer. This is not a construction project. This is for design, engineering, preparation of documents for bidding and permitting. This is coastal erosion for Miramar Park at the Galveston Bay waterfront. We put out a request for qualifications so that we can select an engineering firm. We had five responders. All five meet the minimum requirements for engineering. And over the course of the last week, I have been reviewing those. I did send out a public notice email and posted on the bulletin board and made available copies to the public as well as the city council to gather other information for review. What you have this evening is a resolution that moves us to the next step, and that is to select the engineering firm that then will be negotiated, but the terms are to make sure that we can accomplish the goals within the available grant funds. And reaching those terms then would authorize the mayor to sign that agreement so that we can move forward with the process. It won't be a very quick process. It will entail public input. It will entail field evaluations, environmental work, and as that design moves forward and permits are applied for, and the permits won't move very quickly either, unfortunately. Those state federal permits. You have before you a memorandum with a staff recommendation, and my staff recommendation is based on the proposals in whole, with special attention given to general engineering experience of the firm, qualifications of the lead project personnel, the local project experience, similar projects that have been completed, and the firm's proximity to the project. We have three firms that sent proposals who have done work in Shore Acres, so that we have some, I'd say the firms or the firm's lead engineers have done work in Shore Acres, so that we have some familiarity there. With the exception of Coastal Tech, the others have all done work in the general area, be that Seabrook, Pasadena, League City, Baytown, or Shore Acres. It is staff recommendation that the selected firm be ARUP Texas, and that the alternate selection be Moffitt Nickel. And you might wonder why there's an alternate selection. The way the process works is after the selection is made, you negotiate the terms of the agreement. If the terms can't be reached, then you move to the next firm. And that is the staff recommendation, and that is the resolution.
Thank you, David. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that. I don't think there's anything else on the agenda that's right. Required. If council has no objection, then.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
I appreciate your fiscal responsibility to the city. The question I think that's on most people's mind when it comes to the coastal restoration program is number one. You know, I know where we're at in this process because we've discussed it at length. However, can you explain where the selection of the project fits in the time frame of this process?
In the time frame?
Well, in the entire process, where does that selection component come into play? Is it here, in future? Has it already been done? Could you please tell us where it occurs in this process?
And there was a preliminary study that was done, basically a scoping to identify the types of projects that could be done and if we want to move forward on doing an erosion control project. That met with positive public input that they want to do the erosion control. There was some division of opinion on how to accomplish that. There were a palette of options, and they were also split north and south of the recreation pier. And it's possible that the approach could be different for the different areas. We have different impact from not only a normal tidal impact and storm surge impact, but probably the largest impact that we have to our coastline is caused by the Houston Ship Channel and the ship traffic movement. And that radiates and causes a problem there. And we have the Shell Beach, so we naturally want to protect Shell Beach and access to Shell Beach and sustain that. And we also have a shadowing effect that is created by Houston Yacht Club that fortunately helps and protect the south end of the water. To answer your question, whoever selected the engineering firm, they will start looking at those original options. They will make likely a preliminary recommendation or determination that is then taken out to the public for public input. We'll come back to council. Council will make the final decision on all of the matters, but it will be done with public input. Much like the NEPA project, National Environmental Projects, you have alternatives that are for which public input is sought. One is a no-action alternative. So it may even be possible that at the end of that process, the decision is made to do nothing at all. So you'll get a preliminary decision, a preliminary design, and then you'll move to permitting. I'm giving you an overview, all subject to change as we get into real work and we have an engineering firm in place and they're dealing with real facts. But it's not unusual to have a preliminary design, go to permitting, and then discover that some changes or tweaks are made to accommodate the permitting, and you end up with a final design, all of which gets blessed by City Council before any construction happens. None of this involves construction. It just gets you to construction documents so that you can apply for the follow-on grant for construction. And at that point, the idea is it'll be to build what this council and this community wants on that waterfront.
Very well. Are there any questions from council at this time? Discussion? Yes, ma'am.
That's okay, Bill. You
go ahead.
Just more of a comment. Right there with what David Sell said. It's kind of like getting into your car at the grocery store. The first thing you got to do is find the car, and then you got to unlock it, and then you can get in and drive it. This, we have already said, we gave permission for them to find the car. That was Hunt Out Engineering Firms. Let's look at this. Now we found. Now we're going to specifically get into the car. So what he said is very important because I know you folks on the water do not want a Taj Mahal of silt or anything like that that's going to impede with your usage of the water. I know the yacht club doesn't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it for any of us. The bottom line is what David just said, and this is what I find to be very important. You can just say, thanks, but no thanks. Just put some big rock back out there again. This is federal grant funded. We've been looking for, something for this for 10 years. What's the worst thing that can happen? We could just sit there and go, sorry I wasted your time, take a hike. And that is my thing. I do not want that waterfront screwed up to where we can't put our catamaran sorry, I used the STRW word. We can't put a catamaran out there or take the kids out or take the boat out or fish. That would be silly and that would be stupid and that's not what's good for this community. But that is what's important. We need to sit there and go ahead. We've taken that step. Let's take another. And then, boy, howdy, if we need a bigger venue for that public hearing and we need a longer, we will do it. This council will make that happen. But I, in my opinion, I think it's important. We've located the car in the parking lot. It's a free test drive, folks. Let's get in and see where it takes us. And we can always say, hey, we're going to take it back to where we found it. We don't like it. That's just my opinion. I just wanted to make that very clear that this next step is not by any way, shape, or form putting us into a locked, sealed deal, anything. We can always just say, no, thank you. We just want some big rocks. If you'd like to do that, if not, we'll handle it ourselves. Thank you.
She was going to say the same thing that I don't want to use the car analogy, but.
I'm a woman.
Absolutely. This is not coming up with a plan and doing it without any conversation, any talk. This is just the next phase and what we need to do to protect our shoreline there. My question would be why the first and the alternate selections, if you could kind of enlighten why those two, three of the four of them work in Shore Acres, why is ARUP the first, and Moffitt and Nichols the second?
That's a fair question.
Okay. I guess I don't want to disparage any of the five, but I would say that the bottom two either had not done similar projects or didn't have any local experience. Pushing to the other end, the firm that I'm recommending, their paperwork, their documentation that they submitted, which is available to you, indicated who the lead project engineer would be. It is someone who was intimately involved as the lead person in doing our initial work on this project in our city. Matter of fact, I wasn't expecting him to be here this evening, but he is sitting here in the room. And Mr. Wise in the blue shirt in the front, Larry Wise, he's also done work for Seabrook, Baytown, City of Shore Acres, of course, with the fire, and Houston Yacht Club. So it's his familiarity was one edge that this particular firm had. That said, I did look at who the lead project engineers were on the others. The firm which he was formerly associated with, Moffitt Nichols, certainly has lots of local experience as well, has done similar projects, and has experience in Seabrook and Shore Acres. Both of those two are Houston-based engineering firms. We had other firms that sent in qualifications that were in Austin, getting a little closer to Galveston. In total, based on the personnel that they have assigned, the body of work that they've done, the experience and the projects, I felt like this was the best fit for us. I think that those two are the best fit of all of them, and I think either one would do a great job for us. I think there's detractors once you get past the first two, which could be overcome, I'm sure, but we'd like someone to hit the ground running, I would think.
Okay.
And since Mr. Wise is here, and he is, and I didn't know he'd be here, but if you'd like to ask him any questions, I'm sure he can speak directly to him.
Well, the citizens.
Yeah, I'm going to give the citizens a chance to comment in just a moment.
Contractors.
I want to make sure council has their questions answered, and then we'll move it into the public forum. Are there any questions for council this time? Now public.
Okay, I'm looking at this. We just went through a little issue concerning the selection of the chief, and it was limited to the small body that made the choice, and then the council approved it. Now, we're going into the same thing here. who made the selection right now. I'm going to read a little from that prepared. And what I am, I'm concerned that the current citizens of the Shore Acres are not being given an opportunity to provide adequate input into the Miramar Waterfront Restoration Project. Has anybody consulted, anybody out here recently about that project? I don't think so. In my email of July 6th last year, I asked the mayor and city administrator to form a committee of stakeholders for the purpose of protecting the community's interests during phase two, that's what we're going in, of the waterfront restoration project. I suggested that the committee consist of a representative of the Pier Association, a member of the Yacht Club, a representative of the Parks Board, a citizen, and a council member. This proposal was supported by the Commodore of the Yacht Club, who volunteered to be part of the committee in a separate email to the mayor and city administrator. Instead, during the fourth quarter of last year, a notice to bidders was issued by the city administrator without any recent input from the citizens that I'm aware of. I feel this notice to mariners contained misleading assumptions that the current citizens were, what he said, the current citizens were in favor of the marsh gabion breakwater option. In addition, I feel this is contrary to the desires that were expressed during a meeting of the last public hearing on this subject, which was in July of 2004. Okay, this notice to bidders was issued as a result of that. The city administrator received five reply proposals, as he mentioned, from engineering firms to explain why I feel that there were premature assumptions by the bidders. And here's an excerpt from one of the proposals, Coastal Tech. This is part of their proposal. It's a packet, maybe about 30 pages. And here's what it says. The project is proposed to stabilize the shoreline, blah, 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 restore valuable marsh habitat, blah, 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 and enhance the recreational value of the park. Based upon the city's preliminary assessment of needs per survey, a residence and public meeting, the preferred alternative entails, okay, placement of fill, replacement of riprap, marsh restoration. Now, where does that come from? Marsh restoration through placement of fill and native vegetation to create a habitat. Then the next one is breakwaters comprised of rock or concrete filled stainless steel gabions to stabilize the restored marsh. Now, where are these breakwaters going? They're going to be a pile of rocks, maybe 100, 150 feet offshore, that run parallel to the shore. Okay, this is what the contractor's coming back with, this engineering firm. This is what he believes that the city wants. Then the next thing it says, interpretive signage to support public education regarding erosion and the benefits of marsh restoration. Now that's one contractor, prospective contractor. Now he's under the impression that we want a marsh and that we want these stainless steel gabion breakwaters. Okay, here's where I'm at. I'm concerned that some of the engineering firms may have already prematurely concluded that the current residents of Shore Acres are in favor of the marsh gabion breakwater as part of the restoration of the waterfront. Therefore, here's what I'm asking council to do. I'd like council to appoint a stakeholders committee so you got some feedback from the citizens before you go on and hire one of the contractors. And I ask that the stakeholder committee be allowed to participate in the decision-making process. You guys don't have but one person's opinion right now. Nothing from the citizens. But yet you're ready to go ahead and sign off on an engineering firm. Okay. You have a lot of trust. I would wonder about that after you just went through this Chief Mason meeting. Okay. Then, the next thing I request, any contract issued for the development of the Miramar waterfront contain a clause requiring citizens' hearings. I don't mean just citizens' input. I mean hearings. We pull people together and actually have a formal hearing. We don't want just inputs. What do you think, Joe? We don't want that. That's what I don't want. I would recommend you consider that. And then the next thing I request is this data be submitted to council along with the engineering firm's design criteria, construction specs, cost estimates, and other information. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Yes, sir.
I have questions about the financial end of this. We've been allotted so much money to do these engineering studies.
Right.
Are we required to go out and get quotes from these companies so that everybody is on the same playing field? I mean, are we saying, okay, we want to know what your engineers cost, we want to know what your draftsmen cost, just the maximum cost? What's done there?
It's
how do you engineer something until you've defined what you want?
David, can you address the legality of asking the firms for their pricing schedules?
Sure. This is a project development contract. So you can't... What you're saying is the antithesis of what Mr. Victor is saying. You can't have already decided what you're going to ask them to design and build. It's an evolutionary process. The other half of that is, in Texas, it is not legal for a city to take bids for engineering services. There are a list of professional services that you're prohibited from asking quotes of what the cost is. That's why this resolution is a two-step process of making the selection, and after you make the selection, then you negotiate the terms to see if the terms are reasonable and affordable to our grant. If they're not, then you move to the next selection. The whole body of law on that, and the theory is you want the best qualified, not the cheapest. It's like you're having heart surgery, you don't go find the cheapest doctor, you find the best qualified doctor, and then you see if you can afford it. And that's how engineering works, and architectural and a number of professional services in the state were prohibited from doing it any other way.
So how do you know whether you can afford it? How do you know that they get 60% through and you've used up all the grant money? Then what?
That's the process. That's the process of the negotiating. And actually, it's right in the resolution this evening. It says that City Council selects blank and authorizes the city administration to negotiate terms for the performance of professional services required to complete the scope of work required by the grant within the funding made available through the grant. So that's when we sit down and we talk about what their costs are, what their estimated is, and it's not uncommon to have a fixed ceiling. They will produce with this fixed ceiling, and they make an informed decision whether they're going to take the job and live within those limitations.
We intend to have the fixed ceiling?
We have to. Our fixed ceiling is the amount that's available under the grant. That would be the terms.
You folks will be the GPS in the car. I should have finished mine out with you.
Are there any other questions at this time?
Yes, ma'am.
This may sound stupid, but I'm sorry, maybe I'm missing something somewhere. If we don't want it, then why are we doing it? If at the end we don't want it, why are we doing it?
Well, that certainly is an option of the project. What we're looking at is, and it's my understanding that the engineering firm at some point is going to give us options. And then one of those options will be selected. One of those options could very well be to do nothing. But there's not a selected project, to my understanding, that has already been put into place and or selected by anyone else at this time.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. There has been no public input in the last 10 years into this project. So the answer is,
They really don't know because they have no public input. Nobody out there. Maybe a few conversations, but there's nothing formal. Whether we go, whether the city goes ahead with the project or determines what the city's options are, that hasn't been found out yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is that's the cart before the horse. I mean, we right now are just saying we are open to listening to what they have to. It's actually asking them to listen to us. Is all this is tonight. Asking that gentleman's firm to listen to the city of Shore Acres about what they can do about our waterfront.
It's
not
my firm.
Your firm. You are you.
I'm a blue
shirt. The other blue. But that's it, in a nutshell.
David Light, 5064. Does anybody consider talking to the Army Corps of Engineers? They're going to regulate this whole shoreline. I say, well, you're a few hundred yards from the ship channel that has to be maintained by dredge every year. Panama Canal's been opened up in 2015. You're going to have some gigantic container ships washing anything you put away of the waves from them ships, unless it's steel bulkheads driven deep down into the ground. You plant all the plants and mosquito beds you want to put out there, they're not going to stay there. It's not like down east and west sides of 146 going into Seabrook over the Kima Bridge, where, you know, the estuaries, the shrimp grow up in the estuaries, and they run out there into the deep water when they get there. This bay is constantly changing right here where we're at. We have tides that run 22 knots right straight up that bay right there. What helps Shore Acres is the yacht club gives this area. The predominant winds are out of the southeast, and they blow up this way. That yacht club protects it. We got hit during night. Look how much land you lost during night. In Alicia, in 83, you lost a little bit of property. Come from a different direction. You're going to spend a lot of money, and you're not going to reap many benefits from it, except a whole lot of mosquitoes for a short period of time. That's my opinion. Because I was born and raised on this waterfront.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Yes, ma'am.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. And I have a bunch of questions that I just don't really understand. I started looking through some past documents. So my question first is, which grant cycle are we in?
I believe it's actually grant cycle 9.
So it is 9? Because I was looking at the website, and there are ordinances. Some in the table of ordinances not codified. This is subrecipient grant agreement 200325 coastal. Anyway, my question is, do we need an ordinance to move forward with this? Or why do we have two ordinances that have to do, because one of them is 200409, agreement with Moffett and Richards to survey Miramar waterfront.
And that was a prior.
Do we have an ordinance for what we're doing now, or do we need an ordinance?
We did. The council has taken several actions to get us to this point.
Okay.
They authorized applying for the grant. They authorized the retention of a grant administrator, which is largely the acceptance of the grant. And now we're at the stage where we retain an engineering firm to perform the work of the grant. And this is...
So all that continues under that same...
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so my next question is, then, is this the grant that's $250,000, the duration's 18 months?
Yes, ma'am.
So that I'm on the list of that thing. Okay, so does the city provide matching grants?
Do we
have to provide matching funds?
No, it's 100%.
It's 100%?
There's no city funds in this. And also, I don't want to belabor it, but reading these documents, these proposals, the statements of qualifications, all of these folks understand that this is a coastal impact assistance program grant. And so they tailor this, and they will, during the process, also be visiting with you about things like marsh restoration, because one of their goals is to assist the city in getting the follow-on grant for construction. And there are things that earn you points towards being able to do construction. So there's a balance and a compromise that comes between, you know, what you're doing. In terms of driving sheet steel and putting a bulkhead on Short Acres, there will never be any money ever given to us for that. If it has components that have value to the state, that the state sees value in, then that's where the grant benefit comes from. And so it's a balance, and, you know, the community will have to decide how much of that balance they're willing to accept. But all that will be discussed and hammered out in the and they are hearings. They are public hearings. They're not just input sessions. They're public.
Okay. Is that going to be part of the contract going to the engineering firm that they will conduct public hearings?
Yes.
You know, I have a question, Jerry Victor. It mentions marsh restoration.
Yes.
What marsh are we restoring? There has never been one there since I've been here.
There's never been one here since I've lived here as well.
So what marsh are we restoring?
I don't know what marsh they're referencing, and your question is very valid. I don't know either.
But that is a company that we decided not to even use anyway. So.
Well, you know, but you're going to hear about it. I mean, it isn't going to just go away. There's going to be discussion about that. And it's the area that's north of the pier. And there's a whole scope and body of work. And I've been to workshops in Galveston on this. And these dugongs that they're talking about, they're below the surface. There's no rocks to stick up above. It stops the bottom current. And you get accretion. You through a natural process, the water carries silt over the top, and then when it goes back out slower, it drops that silt, and you start gaining on your waterfront instead of losing. I know that one of the proposals in the original scoping was doing a marsh, which is, you know, below mean tide and marsh grasses, where only the grass sticks up out of the water. If you're going to have a barrier out 100 feet, it's actually useful to the boating community, having done similar projects in Clear Lake, to have out the marsh grass delineating where the shallows are at and where that barrier is at. But all that is for discussion in the process moving on. And, you know, there'll be people who think that's great, and there'll be people who think that's not, and that's what we do the hearings for. Yeah.
Jerry Victor, 46 Maryland. I have emails and so with the mayor, Mr. Stahl, from Nancy Edmondson, who was the mayor during the last cycle in 2004, and the citizens met, and her opinion at that time was north side of the pier, just straight revetment. South side of the pier, beach has expand the beach area. That's what the citizens were for at that time. What they were against, almost wholeheartedly, was they were against a marsh anywhere. So that was back in 2004. Things have probably changed a little bit. There may be more support for the marsh. I don't know. But that's the way it was. Through emails that went to both the mayor and Mr. Stahl.
I think we've voted off of the original intent of the agenda item. I mean, I believe things like that are for a later date, being if this doesn't pass and all of this is null and void.
That's true.
But Mayor, I would also like to ask that a stakeholders committee be placed on the next agenda item that we may look into that.
That can be placed on the next agenda. There's no problem with that. Are there any other questions about item 8.3? If there are none of hearing, then we will entertain a motion at this time.
I will entertain a motion to adopt resolution number 2014-124, selecting an engineering firm to proceed with our Coastal Impact Assistance Program Erosion Control along Miramar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries.
The next item on the agenda is on
Mayor,
8.4. Yes, sir.
For clarification, the selection, the why confirm that the selection?
Before we proceed on, could you clarify your motion?
Yes, for clarification, I'd like to utilize the recommendation that is to council for the clarification be that Arup, is that how you say that, Texas, be selected for the CIAP project, and that Moffitt and Nickel be the alternative selection.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Not carrying the motion carries. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is 8.4, consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2014-53, awarding the contract for the construction of an 8-inch water line and associated valves and fire hydrants. David?
Good evening. You have in your packet the contract award recommendation from the city engineer, Jerry Gaines. With us this evening, the other engineer in a blue shirt. Also attached is the bid tabulation for that. The recommendation is AR Turnkey Construction Company that has the low bid of $226,250. Mr. Gaynor here is to speak to the specifics of that engineering project. And I believe he has drawings. He did the original engineering. And Jerry, could you just, at this point, describe what that project is and what it would accomplish?
The project is to relay a new line going from the water plant down to Sunrise and then turning right on the east side of Sunrise and going down to Oakdale. So it's about 2,400 feet long, 8-inch water line. Currently dealing with three inch water line through most of that area. Very old. I mean, most of the water lines in Shore Acres are less than substandard. So.
And are there fire hydrants associated with the new line?
There are fire hydrants appropriately located. I think there's a new, existing new fire hydrant. There'll be one placed at the beginning of the project, which is right in front of the water plant. There's a new little hydrant that is existing, I think, at Byway. This will tie in to pressurize that system. Then there's a fire hydrant at Park Street. We've come across this water line along Shore Acres is going on the north side of Shore Acres Boulevard. When we get to Park Street, we plan to come across, tee off of the line, come across Shore Acres Boulevard to the southeast corner. It would be the northeast corner, but on the south side of Shore Acres Boulevard. We'd stop there, and that would be teed off so that you could tie on the future and loop the park and whatever other system you need. But there'll be a fire hydrant sitting there. Then we get down to Westview and Sunrise. There'll be fire hydrants, and then fire hydrant at Oakdale.
The existing line between Westview and Sunrise, what size is that line today?
We show it as a 6-inch existing AC water line.
Okay, so this would replace that 6-inch and go to 8-inch there, give us reliability. I think the key point here is that the majority of this distance of 2,050 feet on Shore Acres Boulevard is replacing the 3-inch line with an 8-inch line. It will also tie into the new line that we just opened on byway, which we've already seen a substantial increase in capacity. This will again impact that positively. It will move that same kind of capacity east in the city to Sunrise. I believe there are 7 fire hydrants on this program, 3 of which are brand new fire hydrants, all of which will substantially provide greater firefighting capacity than what we have today. We did budget in this fiscal year $196,000 for water distribution improvements, specifically just for improvements, not repairs or the other budgeted items. Of that, we allocated $121,000 for the byway project. Those are city funds, not grant funds. Mr. Gaynor, do you have an idea of where we're at on the cost on the byway project today?
No, we haven't gotten a bill, but it was supposed to be in the budget. I mean, which was $113,000.
The award for that was $110,000, and we budgeted $121,000, so we had a 10% contingency on top of the award amount. We were fortunate to have the award right before the budget year. That's all the good news, and now the bad news. The engineering estimate on this project was, how much was that?
$188,000
and
some change.
Yeah. $188,000. I think the original grant amount that was applied for was like $164,000.
Yeah. Today we have the grant amount. This is the money that we're getting through the GLO. Is $180,146. Of that, there's a portion that the state takes for environmental engineering, and there's a portion that goes to our grant administrator. That leaves us $165,338 for construction. So you can see the low bid at $226,000 is significantly more than the $165,000 we have in grant funds for construction. That leaves us with a shortage of just at $61,000. That said, we did budget $196,000 for water distribution improvements. The largest portion was for byway. There were 2 other portions, and you'll recall from the budget workshops. One was to tie in a line we've already run on Center to cross Shoreacres Boulevard, a bore job to make that tie-in. The other portion was to extend this very project we're talking about tonight, which would take us to Sunrise and Oakdale and move east on Oakdale towards Boggy Bio. If we don't get this water, our options here now are, this is a unit price contract. So even though the low bid is $226,000, we can cut fire hydrants off, we can cut pipe off, we can change how we do the project, we can bore under old driveways instead of tearing them up and putting new driveways in for people. There are things we can do to reduce the cost of the project and lay less pipe and come in budget. If we do that, we're not going to get to the intersection of Oakdale and Sunrise. And so the money that we've allocated to go from Oakdale and Sunrise to Boggy Bio, there won't be any reason to spend it on that. So my recommendation for council to consider is to take the funds that we have allocated for water distribution system improvements, of which after the byway project, if it goes at full cost, which I think we're going to come in under, including the contingency, we have $75,000 budgeted for distribution improvements, and our overrun here is $61,000. So we have the funds to do that. That leaves us $15,000 to do the center. Visited with Sutton. We've been waiting, and actually it was during the holidays. I was here on a Friday afternoon, and the contractor was out there measuring, but we've not got the bid on the boring there, a quote. And we'll have to actually go out for bid, quote on that. Sutton's expectation is it's going to be in the range of $10,000. Does that sound reasonable to you, $10,000 to bore underneath Shoreacres Boulevard?
It does.
They're not running any other pipe than that, so if they bore that, put poly in, tie that in. So I think we have enough funds to restore this project, do center, complete byway, all as water distribution system improvements, and complete this. Now, to do that, this resolution says that we're adding up the difference out of what we've already budgeted for distribution system improvements, and we'll have to provide this to the state so they know that the project will actually get done to its original scope. We have already seen a huge improvement in just doing this little piece of byway, and we don't have the water plant turned on yet. I think this pipeline here will just be a godsend to everyone on the east end of the city, and is a supplemental line. It parallels the existing feeds, with the exception of the one piece between Westview and Sunrise, because we have a 6-inch line that runs across, that runs here, runs south, and runs across Circle Park to Westview. We also have a 4-inch and 6-inch lines that are on Fairfield and on Forest. So it is not just replacing a line, it is supplementing our lines. I think it's a huge improvement to our distribution system, and I would advocate that we keep the momentum and we use funds that we've already budgeted, knowing that we're not going to be able to do Oakdale from Sunrise to Poggy Bio.
And we do. I asked the contractor to look at the job. I mean, I went through and added up numbers because we had some redundancy in here with, we had driveways set up versus boring under them, and adding up the numbers, not open cutting the driveways, but leaving the driveways and boring under them. I asked him what his number was that he came up with. He came up with 15,000, and I came up with that same number. And so there's, I think, at least 15,000 in savings over what we have here. The city, we could save $1,000 if the city would put the sign up. I think you probably got one of these project signs for the GLO up over in the shop. And if the city puts the sign up, that'll save $1,000. So.
This does, David. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I was just going to ask if there are any questions from council. So, yeah.
This does get us to closer to our end result of supplying, increasing the water supply down towards the yacht club and the people on the far southern end of Shore Acres, correct?
Yes,
sir.
And just so I'm clear, so I have an understanding, if we realize that this project is over what we expected, but we can't afford to do it if we bump the Oakdale project to the next fiscal year, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, with this addition, you know, we've been concerned about making sure we get adequate water flow and pressure to the yacht club.
Yes.
Now, this will impact them?
Yes, sir, it will. Their limiting factor is a 4-inch line on Miramar. It's a dead-end line. There's a loop, but the loop does not go as far down as the Shady Lawn, so everything south of Oakdale towards the yacht club is a dead end 4-inch. This provides another avenue for water and greater capacity to feed that into the system.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
By looking at the numbers I'm looking at here, I mean 525 to 970, 595 to 960, 42 to 920, 509 to 730. I mean, you're almost right, doubling. I mean, and that was one of our biggest concerns. I mean, I have to agree, the momentum, if we stop now, I mean, you're talking about really stepping up, taking care of our homes, you know, getting the pressure there. So.
Well, yeah. We've already had issues with two fires down there.
Yeah, so it's time to,
you know. Water pressure may or may not have been a contributing factor to either or both, but to have that capability, that capacity is something that we really do need.
The newer lines, you know, you're not going to have the breaks. I mean, you continually have breaks on the old system, and all you need is a fire with a line break, and you don't have any pressure.
Well, you look at a fire, but you also, as you just said, break. Every time there's a break, it costs man hours, mm-hmm. costs time, the equipment. So it's, do the math.
I mean, the council just was made aware this evening that because of an incident in December, we're down one public works person, which was something we were looking at cutting personnel there. Some people didn't want to make the tough decisions, but we don't replace that person. We could pretty much make up that difference there, and we won't have to worry about that man down because there won't be as many breaks in the line. Problem solved. Just wanted to throw that out. The only way I'm voting for this, if I can get some assurance from council that we are not going to dig ourselves in either further hole, because God knows we're bad off as it is. but we've got to look at things like that. I mean, things just like that.
If this were approved and we discover that there are no funds left in the budget to do the Oakdale project, is that pretty much the guarantee that council would get, is that if the Oakdale project came back up at a later time, it would have to be approved by council to go over the funding scheduled in the improvements. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, this keeps us living within our budget. Oh,
very well. That would necessarily be your guarantee, is if there's no monies allocated for the project, it would have to come to council for approval if that project came up in this fiscal cycle.
We don't need to rehire that person from public works.
Okay, my question is, if I'm remembering correctly, we were going to run a line to a dry hydrant, a brand new hydrant that was put in that's dry right now.
Well, that was one of the things. Let's go ahead and do it, but not finish the project.
Not finish the project.
We never even thought about doing that, but that was one of the
things. I thought that was one of the things we budgeted for.
It is. That is the center.
And that's the one that we wouldn't do?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We would.
We still would do
we
that.
We would do that.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that wasn't trading out because I was going, I think we just traded hydrants.
That's the Boyne Under Center Street project.
Okay, thank you.
That one is still on the... When they were saying that there were $10,000, that it would estimate about $10,000, we would still have funds in the budget in order to achieve that connection.
Where it was.
Sure. I was.
Now, the Oakdale project is the one, the Oakdale extension that would be off of this project would be moved into the next fiscal cycle for us not being able to afford.
How much are we
going to
be lacking on the Oakdale project?
Well, it's
we're not sure.
Well, there's a lot of speculation there. We have a $60,000 overrun as it was bid. There has been some discussion of cutting up to $45,000 from some cost savings in that project. We'll do everything we can to do cost savings in that project. We have not closed out the MyWay project. Expectation is going to come in at or below the $121,000 we budgeted. It's possible that there's a $5,000 to $10,000 savings on that project. Well, those funds will remain in the distribution system line item. That money cannot just be taken out again. If we can accomplish these projects below the numbers that we expect tonight, which would leave $5,000 in there, and we end up with $25,000 or $30,000, then we can come back and do an extension from the end of this project and keep moving down Oakdale. And again, stay within the current budget. So it's kind of just waiting to see what money's left on the table when we knock these out. What's the construction time on this project?
It's 3 months.
Yeah, see, it's only a 90-day project. So even with weather delays and conflicts, we should be within this fiscal year enough that we can then see what the balance is in that distribution system line item and look at follow on.
Are there any other questions from council at this time? Are there any questions from public at this time? Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, the 3246 Do we have money or cash in the checking account right now to pay for this, or are we going to have to go into the reserve fund again, pull money out to pay for it?
We will have the money in hand. Today I received a deposit. This is Monday. Yes, it was today. Today I received a deposit of $150,000. Last week, $100,000. So we had things that we had deferred until we had the cash flow from property tax revenues. And
what's the reserve fund at right now?
I believe it's $880,000. And that's text pools, plus we have about $270,000 in certificates of deposit.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions at this time? With no appearing, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2014-153, and the working contract for the special grade 1-1.
Councilman Moses, would you note that in the first page, the next last paragraph, where it gives the amount that's encumbered, the result of our discussion this evening, that number will go to 226.
That will qualify bill is 226,250 from AR Turnkey Construction.
Yes, sir.
But you're talking about the,
where it says
the amount of $165,338.
That will now read 226,250.
That's going to be 226,250.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. So the amount of 226,250 is authorized to be encumbered. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To A&R Turnkey Construction, little 8-inch water line.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So that's second.
Could you restate that for the record, just
The amount of $226,250 is authorized to be encumbered and made payable to AR Turnkey Construction for connection of an 8-inch water line.
Thank you for the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion that's been promptly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? If none appearing, the motion carries. Next item on the agenda. Item 8.7, consideration approval of ordinance number 2014-154, designating the official city newspaper. David?
Yeah, this is an annual requirement. The first meeting of each year, the city identifies and establishes official newspaper. I wish, for financial and fiscal reasons, it did not have to be the Houston Chronicle, but to be compliant with Helping Americans Vote Act. It's the only paper today that still meets the requirements. Pasadena Citizen made a yeoman's attempt to get penetration into Shore Acres and it failed. You go outside and see we have a newsstand from them and the paper in there is before Thanksgiving. So we're just kind of stuck with the Houston Chronicle for right now.
Are there any questions from council at this time? Are there any questions from citizens at this time? Yes, sir.
What about the Bay Area, sir? I noticed there's legal notices in there now. It didn't used to be. And they're a lot cheaper than the Houston Chronicle. And also the Bay Town Sun as an option. They save us some money.
Yeah, we have been following LaPorte's lead because we're in a particular box because the city of Shore Acres, while we can do our legal notices and meet the state requirements, we can use more publications. But we have the limitation of the elections, and it's not just our election. We conduct the elections, we contract to conduct the elections of the San Jacinto College District and the LaPorte School District. And the LaPorte School District attorneys and the LaPorte attorneys are not comfortable with anything other than the Houston Chronicle. So we're kind of stuck there. We do, however, get a favorable rate. We run in a Thursday edition, which is a split, so it's just a sliver of the Chronicle, which does cover this area. And our costs have been surprisingly reasonable in the last year.
Yes, ma'am.
Charlotte Webster, 342 Miramar. Why do the attorneys prefer the Houston Chronicle over the Bay Times?
It is meeting the requirements of the Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. I'm sorry, that was the Voting Rights Act, Section 5. The Chronicle was approved by the United States Attorney General's office. We, you know, with the lawsuit, we no longer have to do preclearance. But that only affects preclearance, not the requirements of what you have to do. You still have to do the same things and to violate the Voting Rights Act. And the circulation of the newspaper is one of the things that they evaluate. And they have approved us using the Chronicle. We had to get preclearance to use the Chronicle when the local paper went defunct.
did the attorney say something specifically that we couldn't meet the Bay Sun Sun?
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a meeting about what we were going to do when the Bayshore Sun went defunct. And we looked at all the options, and as a group of all of the cities that were involved in that voting issue. And we had to apply to the United States Attorney General's office for approval of what paper to use to publish our legal notices. And I thought it would be a slam dunk, but they actually called a couple times and asked for additional documentation before they would approve us using the Houston Chronicle.
Does it have to do with distributorship? Like how many? Where it's distributed? I just thought there were, there were things that the paper would have to do, but I didn't realize we had to have
them printed. I'm not sure what the U.S. Attorney General's office looks at on newspapers. We do have a state law that says what the paper has to do to meet the requirements for bidding for state notifications. And it's pretty loose. It says publication of general circulation has to be published at least once weekly. But I don't know what the Attorney General's office looks at on what they consider fair to the voters.
It sounds to me like you're just keeping the Houston Chronicle in business.
And a lot of other papers across the whole country.
Well, but I'd rather do it for local paper like Baytown Sun, where people would start reading, and it would cover more of our local issues in the Chronicle. But if you're saying that the attorney said we had to do the Chronicle.
Yeah, their fear is that we will publish an election notice that citizens here won't see and won't read because the paper's not of general circulation.
Chronicle hides it in the middle of Chronicle anymore.
But this can be changed. This is not, we don't make this decision for an entire year, so if the new paper comes up or somebody can find an alternative, then we can change it. This is not like a one-year contract.
That's correct.
So this is just to get us through until somebody finds something better.
And the purpose of the ordinance also this evening is to tell our citizens where to go to look to find our notices.
In the middle of the Chronicle.
In between the
obituaries. Are there any other questions at this time? With none appearing, we'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to adopt ordinance 2014-154. Designating the 50th Shore Acres as used to
Thank you, Mike. Is there a second? Thank you, Bo. We have a motion that's been properly seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. And with that being the last business item, we are adjourned at 2106.